Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, live from St. Paul and the Republican National Convention. Who trumps Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, and Mike Huckabee at the Republican convention? Sarah Palin does. They all speak tonight, but so does she, and she is the draw. Republican delegates are fired up big time for John McCain's VP pick, the clear-eyed governor of Alaska. Here's Delegate Shirley Sadler from Lebanon, Ohio.
It's a credit to the Republican Party and to women across the country. I mean, she's great. I think she's very enthusiastic. I'm excited about it. I'm really excited about it. So I'm looking forward to her speech.
Tonight is Sarah Palin's real introduction to the nation. John McCain has gambled maybe everything on a gutsy governor who was almost unknown in the lower 48 before last Friday. This hour on Point, we're talking about John McCain's high-stakes gamble, Governor Sarah Palin. You can join the conversation. What do you make of the Alaska governor? Her politics, her record, her family values, her readiness to step in if John McCain checks out. Is this your choice to break the glass ceiling to hunt moose with? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Later in this hour, we will talk with oil man turned natural gas and wind farmer T. Boone Pickens. But first, joining me now at our broadcast booth in St. Paul's XL Center is Peter Walston with the Los Angeles Times. He's been raising some tough questions about how Governor Palin was vetted by the McCain team. Welcome, Peter. Glad to have you here.
Thanks, Tom.
McCain's gamble is clear, you say. How? What?
Well, you know, this is a guy who's clearly makes decisions on his own. Oftentimes he puts aside the advice that, more conventional political strategists might give him. He can make decisions based on an emotive reaction to something. He obviously wanted to pick, we understand he wanted to pick Joe Lieberman for his ticket. He was told by a number of advisors that that would be ill-advised given how the Republican base would react. And he came upon Sarah Palin and decided that this was his pick. And as it turns out, she was not very aggressively vetted by his campaign. Many of his own people were caught off guard by the choice. And that is a classic McCain gamble. There's dozens and dozens of reporters in Alaska digging away at her record, and we'll see what they find.
Peggy Noonan, Republican speechwriter, says it's going to be a big win or a big loser. Newt Gingrich says either an enormous asset or a real liability. He says it's going to be a wild ride. What's come out already in this last, what, how many days that that people are looking at?
Just the last 4 or 5 days. it's what's amazing is I think she's going to be on People magazine this coming week for the second week in a row. This is probably an audience that's not accustomed to reading about politics and all of the supermarket tabloids and so forth. So it's a much different kind of story than we're used to. But in the policy and front, you know, we're learning that even though she presented herself on Friday as somebody who was a champion against the abuses of federal budget earmarks, the practice of people, lawmakers, getting hometown projects in the federal budget.
Yep.
She actually, as mayor and as governor, participated in that practice very aggressively.
For her little town of Wasilla, outside of Anchorage.
Little town of Wasilla, population of less than 10,000 people, got about $27 million in earmarks during her time as mayor. So, you know, she'll argue that she was advocating for her town and getting important projects there. But that really goes to a bit of an inconsistency in terms of how she presented herself and how Senator McCain presented her. And it's also important because Senator McCain has been a champion against earmarking. That practice.
Though he cited some of her earmarks, at one point as the wrong kind. She came out Friday saying she had been opposed to the bridge to nowhere, but at a certain point she was not opposed to it. She was for it.
She was for it until she thought that it was getting too expensive, and then she decided that she would oppose it. So none of these, you know, this is a case where it's been a bit of a drip, drip, drip. I mean, but we haven't, of course, we can talk about the more sensitive issue of her family situation and her daughter.
Well, let's look at it. Tonight, the whole family is going to be on the convention floor. And again, I have to say, in this convention center, she is wildly popular. People are really fired up. You can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
But yet it's a complicated story. And her daughter, Bristol, will be there, 5 months pregnant? And The young man, a senior in high school, Levi Johnston, who they say she intends now to marry, will be there as well. We saw John McCain greet him at the airport here in Minneapolis-St. Paul today. How is that story going down with the faithful?
Well, the faithful feel that it's actually not, again, not a bad, it's not a bad story. It's a, something that a lot of people can relate to. This is a candidate, Sarah Palin, who in her career in Alaska, and now we're seeing as in her short tenure so far as the vice presidential nominee, can really relate to the real lives of a lot of Americans. And that's how the campaign is talking about it. That's how the faithful here view it, is Democrats who try to attack her for these kinds of things do so at their peril because they risk looking elitist, which, by the way, goes exactly into the narrative that the McCain campaign would like to use.
Video out and about today of her in a church in Wasilla calling, describing the war in Iraq as a task from God. The Christian right has really been happy with her. It has brought them around to John McCain like nothing else he's done. Is that enough? What's the political calculation here that John McCain is making? Is that all he needs? Does he need more than that?
He needs more than that, but that's something. I mean, I think based on my reporting around the country over the past few months, McCain was facing a lethargic base and an unenthused middle. Recently, we've seen in our poll and others that independent voters, women, most importantly of all, suburban women have been moving toward Obama. That's supposed to be part of McCain's base. In the middle, the McCain campaign had been developing a strategy that was going to be very much different than the strategy we saw from George W. Bush 4 years ago, which was totally geared toward the base. McCain was supposed to have a different model. And what we've seen now is all of a sudden he's made a decision that actually goes to the base. Now, he couldn't win. He couldn't win without the base being enthusiastic. So this was very important. But first of all, we've got about 60 days left. So if he's still trying to motivate the base at this point, now he's finally done it, and he's done so with Sarah Palin being the culmination of a series of steps to do that. And now he's got to go back and try to go to that middle. And it's going to be very interesting to see how John McCain, how the new John McCain. Can continue to motivate the base, and now the old John McCain can come back and somehow find the middle.
Peter Walston with me here in St. Paul. I want to jump to Alaska, Wasilla, Alaska, the town where Sarah Palin was mayor. We're joined from there by Lyda Green. She is Alaska State Senate President, hails from Sarah Palin's hometown district. She and Palin are both Republicans, but have not seen eye to eye on a lot of issues. The Anchorage Daily News quoted Lyda Green as saying she thought it was a joke when she heard of McCain's pick of Palin. Lyda Green, thank you very much for being with us from Wasilla.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
There's a lot of enthusiasm here at the Republican National Convention for Sarah Palin, for vice president. What do you make of that? We know you guys are not pals, but you know her well and you know her record well. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. She plays very well. She's very energetic. She's magnetic and she's good on her feet. And she can say all the things right that people want to hear. Now, I do want to let you know, though, that I've known Sarah for 14 years, and for 12 and a half of those years, we got along very well. We were, you know, we worked together when she was mayor of Wasilla, and I supported her, she supported me, and we got along beautifully until she got into the governor's chair.
So are you part of the Republican old guard that she was going after? Is that why you're unhappy? Was she trying to reform you, Lyda Green?
No, I was not a subject of the reform, but in her zeal to do the ethics and corruption, quote, reform, she used a pretty broad brush to paint everyone with. And so a lot of people got caught into her, you know, taking the blame for things they had certainly not done. But you have to understand, she ran against the party, she ran against the governor, she ran against the status quo, she ran against the oil industry, she ran against a lot of things that everything seemed to culminate at the right time, at the right place for her candidacy.
And maybe that makes her a good job. Maybe that makes her, Lyda Green, an excellent partner for John McCain. He's trying to project an image of reform and change here. Change is a big subject. The status quo is not popular. Maybe that makes her just right.
Perhaps it does. Could well be.
What do you think of Sarah Palin being, as they say, a heartbeat from the presidency? John McCain is 72 years old. He's had cancer, skin cancer several times. Who knows? I mean, life is what it is. Yeah. What do you think of the possibility of President Palin?
Yeah. Well, you know, I find that somewhat frightening. that I've known very few people in my life that I thought were ready to either and prepared to be either vice president or president.
But and, somewhat frightening. Why frightening?
I don't think she's prepared or ready to be the president of the United States.
Does she have the kind of learning curve capacity to step up? Republicans are saying she does. She will.
Well, I guess, you know, I can't refute that. I would have to say that by observing her style as governor, I would say that people would be very disappointed in the style and the what she brings to that office.
Lida Green, please stand by in Wasilla, Alaska. Peter Walston, I've just got you for another minute. What's on the line for John McCain here? I mean, I suppose with only, as you say, 8 weeks or so left, everything.
Everything's on the line. I mean, this really comes down to a test of his judgment and his decision-making style. If Sarah Palin winds up being a bad decision, if more negative headlines, bad stories come out about her and she tanks, then the entire premise of John McCain's campaign, the fact that he is the one who has the experience and the judgment to be president, that goes down with it. So this is just an enormously huge gamble. This is it. This is the race.
Maybe he's called it just right, though. Maybe it goes the other way. Maybe a whole lot of Americans look at her and say, I identify with that person, that woman, that governor.
Absolutely. Well, that's the definition of a gamble. If it pays off, then it pays off big.
Peter Walston with the Los Angeles Times, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Lida Green in Alaska, please stand by. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have more voices, more views on Governor Sarah Palin. We are live from St. Paul, Minnesota, and the Republican National Convention. Listeners, you can join us. Where do you come down on Sarah Palin? Is she the heartbeat of America, a tail-kicking hockey mom, right-with-Jesus reformer who's just what John McCain and this country need? Or is she an insult to common sense, a heartbeat from the presidency? 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, live from St. Paul, Minnesota, and the Republican National Convention. We're talking tonight about Alaska Governor and John McCain's VP pick, John McCain's big gamble maybe, Sarah Palin. Let's hear just a little bit of what's out there this week. We talked with Alan Duff, a delegate from Highlands Ranch, Colorado. He explained here at the Republican Convention, he explained how he thought Sarah Palin would help John McCain.
The fact that she has been the commander-in-chief of a National Guard force is probably more than both Biden and Obama combined. So in that regard, I think it's a strong ticket.
And what did Rush Limbaugh think? He loved it. Here's Rush Limbaugh on the news that Sarah Palin would join John McCain's ticket.
We have a conservative, real woman. This woman hunts moose. This woman fishes. This woman is an athlete. This is an inspired choice. This is absolutely fabulous. And she is conservative. She's pro-life. 5 kids. She had a Down's syndrome baby months ago. Rather than abort it.
And in an interview that just aired with ABC's World News Tonight, Senator McCain himself told host Charles Gibson that Governor Palin is exactly the kind of politician Americans are looking for.
This is a person who will bring change to Washington and start working for you and on your side. This is what we Americans want. They don't want somebody who is frankly necessarily gone to Harvard or an Ivy League school. She probably hasn't been to a Georgetown cocktail party. But you know what? She represents everything we want to see in government in America. Change and reform and ethics and taking on the special interests. That's what people want today.
We've been joined from Wasilla, Alaska, her hometown, by Lida Green, Alaska State Senate President, who has butted heads with Sarah Palin and makes no bones about that. And with me right now in the convention center in St. Paul, Kellyanne Conway, Republican pollster, CEO and president of the polling company, co-author of What Women Really Want. Kellyanne Conway, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
You've seen the barrage of press inquiry about Sarah Palin this week. I guess that's not surprising. People didn't really know her last Friday. Now people are thinking about her a lot. A bunch of pushback from the McCain campaign today saying it's unfair, it's sexist, just not right how the press is looking into her background. But there she stands as John McCain's running mate. Tonight she makes her big speech. How do you size her up?
I think she's a rugged individualist, strong, feisty, and accomplished woman that she was a week ago when really no one in the major press corps knew her. Certainly others of us did. And I do have to say that I am surprised by the historic, somewhat unconscionable attack on her and her family. You want to scour her record and pick it apart, you go right to it. She's in public life. But, you know, there were those of us in the Republican Party who were on TV a lot during the Clinton administration and never uttered a word about Chelsea Clinton. I personally treated Chelsea Clinton like a Fabergé egg. I just didn't go there. I just didn't touch her. I think it's unconscionable what has happened to Bristol Palin and the way people are treating her. I will say a couple things since they haven't been said heretofore in this program. If we're going to talk about going after $27 million in earmark, we ought to talk about the $1 billion in earmarks that Senator Obama has tried to secure since in his very short tenure in the United States Senate. And I wish this were a campaign about Sarah Palin on the issues. You know, voters tell pollsters all of the time, and you know it, Tom, that they want to debate about the issues. They want to hear where people stand on the issues. All we're really getting this week is stuff about nonsense about her family and nonsense about where she stands on abortion. That's it. Now, that's insulting to many women who, although care about the issue of abortion, certainly don't go into the ballot boxes only that in their mind. Last time I checked, a lot of women can do the math. They care about microeconomics. They care about affordability. They care about kitchen table economics. And we're just not talking about it.
I agree those have been big headlines, but by no means the only headlines. People have been looking at where she has stood on pork barrel spending. As you say, on what she tried to ban books in the local library at one point in Wasilla. That gets people's attention. Talking about the war in Iraq being a task from God. Some may love that, some may not. But if she might be vice president, what? She might be our vice president in just a couple of months.
Barack Obama may be the president, possibly. Tom. And a lot of this conversation so far has been about, including the lady from the state Senate president, who I think is
Lida Green with us from Wasilla.
Right, partly jealous of Sarah Palin. But anyway, if you ask people who actually support her, she's got a 90% approval rating or so in Alaska.
I assume
Ms. Green is part of the 10%. But that aside, Barack Obama would be the president. So I think if we actually want to put experience and leadership on the table, let's have that debate. Some of us have been trying to have a debate about experience for 18 months, and everybody wanted to talk about biography, not experience. So when we try to talk about Sarah Palin's biography, where it said, no, let's talk about experience. And, you know, I come from a town that still has less than 2,000 people in it. That's how I was raised and born. This $46,000 that Todd Palin made last year to feed his family of five would be like gold in my hometown. But let me say this. Wasilla has a population of about 9,000.
Right.
The last time I heard the figure 9,000, that's how much Joe Biden got in the primaries. 9,000 voters for Joe Biden in the primaries, 9,000 people living in Alaska. I think if I were a woman in the Democratic Party, I'd say Joe Biden got 9,000 votes and Hillary Clinton got 18 million. Did you lose your abacus and your mind on the way to choosing your vice president? I mean, that math is very simple. Nobody's talking about that now. The focus is all on this one woman as if she's the only person. She's one of four people on two national tickets. And I think there needs to be some fair coverage of that.
Fair enough. But, of course, we're at the Republican convention this week, and she is speaking tonight in her big kind of debut for the nation. Lida Green in Wasilla. Well, we've touched on some of the issues, but how about it? Kellyanne Conway says, put the biography aside. Let's get off that fixation. Think about Sarah Palin on the issues. Does she, to your eye, line up with what John McCain seems to promise in the presidency? Does she, when it comes to issues, when it comes to the policy, does she line up with where John McCain seems to want to take the country?
Well, first, I'd like to say that I'm somewhat surprised that Kellyanne Conway would call me any way jealous of Sarah Palin. I certainly am not. And I have based all of my opinions on Sarah Palin based on the public policy that she's tried to develop and the absence thereof. I think there are many issues on which Sarah and John would agree. However, I think that Alaskans prefer Sarah Palin's opinion on opening Anwar, certainly, to the approach
for oil drilling. Yep.
And yes, and we would like to see that viewpoint changed. Perhaps she can bring about a change in promoting drilling in Anwar, and for the nation, and for all of America. You know, and certainly for the development of an Alaska field, and certainly helps our revenue. But there are probably many issues on which they agree. I have an idea. She's probably more conservative on some of the social issues than he. I would also say that I have witnessed some as we talk about this wonderfully conservative woman, this is the same woman who just did a $1,200 resource rebate to every person in the state who qualifies for a permanent fund dividend. This is a woman who insisted that we create a program for senior benefits based on need, but it's a new entitlement program.
But Alaska's rolling in oil money right now, isn't it? I mean,
not typical Republican issues. We may have an excess of revenue at this time. However, the oil, the amount of oil going into our gas every day decreases. Therefore, we have to save for a time in the future when we don't have that oil stream.
Lida, she's got
the same woman who instituted the greatest tax on the oil industry in a punitive manner that will discourage development, exploration, and the extension of development of the oil industry in Alaska, which is 85% of Alaska's revenue.
Lida Green, the last poll I saw, she had something like an 80% approval rating in Alaska. Most presidents would be, they can't even imagine that, U.S. presidents, never mind George Bush. That would appear to say that Alaskans think she's doing something pretty right.
No, and I agree. She is very, very, very popular. But the old expression, it may be popular, but that doesn't make it right. It may be right, but thus it may not be popular. However, I can tell you, if you were interviewing and talking to business leaders, to bankers, to all the people who are worried about the economy and the future of Alaska, they would share my concern with you that some of the issues and the moves she has made and the effort she has made to not meet with business leaders and not address the issues business leaders have has been very frightening. Now, if we can bring about a turnaround on that, that would be wonderful. I'm not saying I don't want her to be considered. I am saying that a great deal of investigation and additional questions and information should have been gathered before this decision was made.
Lida Green in Alaska, please stand by. And Kellyanne Conway joining us also now in St. Paul, Minnesota. Ruth Marcus, columnist for The Washington Post. Ruth, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You've called this a cynical choice. A lot of Republicans at this convention are very enthused about it. We have heard that again and again. What's your problem with the Sarah Palin nomination impending?
Well, I think it's cynical because, quite honestly, I don't see how she has proven herself to be qualified to be vice president. And I think it's cynical in the sense that this was an effort, among other things, by Senator McCain and Governor Palin to appeal to those disaffected Hillary Clinton voters that Kellyanne was talking about. And I just don't see why Hillary Clinton voters would necessarily buy what Senator McCain and Governor Palin are selling. And I wanted to go to something that Kellyanne said about why are we talking about biography? Why don't we go to the issues? I would love to talk about the issues. I write editorials in addition to my column. They're almost entirely about issues. So let's talk about issues. We don't know where Governor Palin is on so many issues. How about some interviews with somebody besides People magazine? How about a sit down with editorial boards? How about an interview on Meet the Press? I got a ha 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 back from the campaign. So if you want to be serious, let's be serious, and then don't complain about frivolity when your first interview is to People magazine.
Oh, but wait a second. First of all, more people read People magazine than half the newspapers in the country.
But it's not an issues
magazine. Hold on. The lady is giving the speech of her life tonight. She has been sequestered working on that speech. And if, let's all be serious, if she were to see the light of day and give any kind of press conference or any press availability, can you really honestly say, Ms. Marcus, that those questions would be about her position on taxation or regulation entrepreneurship and not about her pregnant daughter or about her husband, dog sledding or whatnot? That's what all the article's about.
Washington Post editorial board, they would be.
Tom, she will. The campaign has made very clear. Look, I'm a pollster, but I know what I read as a consumer of the news. The campaign has made clear that they will make her available after tonight's speech. She's going to be the vice president. She'll be out there. And I just have to go back to one thing. Mm-hmm. Emily's List. So let's quote their poll.
Okay.
Emily's List has a poll out.
Big supporter of female candidates.
Well, not a female candidate. They only give money to women candidates who support abortion rights. So that's her criteria. That's where they started. Emily's List gives money to women who support abortion and are running for office. They came out with a poll that shows 21% of Hillary supporters are voting for the McCain-Palin ticket, but they crowed about it that it was such a low number. I would be floored and shocked if I were in Emily's list, and one-fifth of the Hillary supporters are voting for this 100% pro-life ticket.
That would be amazing if that's an indicator. Let's hear from our listeners from Washington, D.C. Kathleen is calling. Kathleen, you're on the air to St. Paul. What do you think of Sarah Palin?
Hi, Tom. I'm one of those old Hillary supporters who was very angry at the way that the Obama campaign treated Hillary. And I've followed McCain for many years. I've always liked him. I thought this was a really bold move. And I'm still learning more and more about Sarah Palin, but I guess the thing that I'm focusing on is the fact that she's kind of a real person. You know, she's got five kids. Her husband has only makes $46,000 a year. She's not a Washington elitist. She's had to deal with all of the issues that most middle-class people in the United States have to deal with, and then some. And I think she's an extraordinary individual based on what I know so far. And I'm pretty excited about it. I thought it was a great pick.
And you're ready to go over to go from a Hillary supporter to Republican, from Hillary
Absolutely.
To Sarah Palin. Does that mean, there's a pretty big jump on the issues. Is it just gender that's drawing you over or something else?
No. I think for John McCain, it's some issues and it's character and experience. In terms of Sarah Palin, I think I see her as a kind of roll-up-your-sleeves, get-the-job-done person, competitive athlete. You know, I recognize her type, if you will, from the PTA and so forth. And I mean, I think, you know, given what where she started out in life and what she's wanted to do, she's accomplished a great deal. And I don't see why she wouldn't accomplish a great deal being a vice president.
Kathleen, we've got it. We thank you very much for your call. Let's get one from Jan in Millinocket, Maine. Jan, you're on the air to St. Paul.
Hi there. I would just like to say that I am a hunter, a fisherman, a trapper. I spend a whole lot of time in the outdoors, as a lot of us women in Maine do. But when I consider the fact of facing off to Vladimir Putin, I gutting a moose and Vladimir Putin are two different things. And when I heard her inaugural speech or part of it on the radio the other night on MPBN.
On the announcement, yeah.
It didn't sound like she could, he'd run her over. I don't think that she has enough international credentials. I don't really care about her family situation at all, but I don't think that if John McCain at his age, if he drops, she's not going to have enough time, and I don't know if she has enough ability to have a sharp learning curve enough to face international leaders.
Yep, Jan, we've got it. Gutting a moose is not good enough for you. You're from Maine. You ought to know. Ruth Marcus, I'm looking here, though. Thomas Lifson writes, an American thinker. He says, Sarah Palin is the ultimate all-American girl, beautiful but not glamorous, powerful but unpretentious, high-powered but down-to-earth, a reformer who speaks up while others cower in fear of rocking the boat. Ordinary Americans see all the pieces fitting together, and they recognize a type of person they know and love.
I think that may well be true, that one of the questions that pollsters tend to ask is, does she understand, or he understand in most cases, but does she understand the problems of people like me? I can imagine that many Americans do look at Governor Palin and think that she does understand the problems of people like them. She does. They know PTA moms who have achieved a lot of things. But I think I would agree, though I've never gutted a moose myself, that there are more qualifications that are necessary. I'm not saying she doesn't have them. I'm just saying they haven't been demonstrated. And I would like to hear from her, not just about her family life, her moose gutting, her experience in Wasilla, but what she thinks on the really serious issues any vice president is going to need to know how to grapple with.
Ruth Marcus, Kellyanne Conway, please stand by here in St. Paul. And Lyda Green in Wasilla, Alaska, please stand by. We're talking about Sarah Palin. She speaks tonight. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, live from St. Paul in the Republican National Convention. We're talking tonight about Alaska governor and John McCain VP pick, John McCain's big gamble, Sarah Palin. You can join the conversation. Do you relate to this moose-gutting, reforming, mother of five, soon-to-be grandmother, hard-charging career woman, Sarah Palin? Is this the one to break the glass ceiling? We've been joined from Wasilla, Alaska, her hometown, by Lyda Green, state Senate president in Alaska, an opponent in recent years of Sarah Palin. Ruth Marcus is here from the Washington Post. Kellyanne Conway is with us as well. Here's Sarah Palin on Friday in Dayton, Ohio, giving a nod as she accepted John McCain's welcome onto the ticket, giving a nod to Hillary Clinton, saying now is the time for her to complete the job that Senator Clinton began.
It was rightly noted in Denver this week that Hillary left 18 million cracks in the highest, hardest glass ceiling in America. But it turns out the women of America aren't finished yet, and we can shatter that glass ceiling once and for all.
Sarah Palin speaks tonight in St. Paul. I've just got some of the transcript of what she's going to say. She'll say, I guess a small town mayor is sort of like a community organizer, except that you have actual responsibilities. A little dig at Barack Obama right there. This afternoon, top McCain advisor Carly Fiorina, along with other high-level GOP women, held a press conference here at the Excel Center in St. Paul. Fiorina, former head of Hewlett-Packard, said McCain's VP pick has been hurt by sexism, and Fiorina likened it to that Hillary Clinton experienced, she said, during her campaign for president. She went on to say Sarah Palin is the right woman for the job.
Many people have demeaned and belittled her experience, and as women, we all know how frequently that happens. This is a well-qualified candidate for the vice presidency and well-qualified to be a heartbeat away from the president. This executive, who has made more executive decisions than Barack Obama has made in his life, also happens to be a woman, and that is thrilling to so many millions of American women.
Carly Fiorina standing up there for Sarah Palin this afternoon. Lyda Green in Wasilla, Alaska. I know I've just got you for another minute. What about the charge that press, media inquiry, criticism, investigation of Sarah Palin now that she's there on the ticket is sexist? You've been in politics a long time as a woman. How do you see that charge?
Well, I haven't seen that so much. I know that my immediate reaction was the children of elected officials are 100% off limit. They are not fair game at all. And I think you're always going to have, for many years to come, some reaction to a female candidate. You know, as far as we've come, you know, I certainly still feel it in the little arena I work in. But you get through that and you ignore it and you go on. Because we're bigger than that. And
so
I don't think that's a big issue for her.
You're with Carly Fiorina on that point when she says, well qualified to be a heartbeat away from the president, maybe not so much.
That's correct. I really feel like, now I think she's qualified. I don't think she's ready or prepared.
Lyda Green, Alaska State Senate President, joining us there from Wasilla, Alaska. Thank you very much for being with us, Ms. Green.
You bet. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's take a call from Mount Vernon, Virginia. Jamie, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks.
Yeah.
I am so frustrated by the predictability of the shallowness of the discussions coming out of the Republican cheerleaders up there in Minnesota that you get clips of and other media get clips of on the air talking about this person. Now, I used to vote Republican. I am an independent, and I'll vote where I need to vote. But the shallowness of the approach to accepting this person seems to be, she's a maverick outsider, just like McCain, and boy, are they going to shake up Washington. What about the issues? What about the real meat of the problems that are facing this country? The lingering war, the unfought battles around the world, the economy. I'm hearing none of that. It is so predictable that the Republican delegates are going to be saying, golly Willikers, she's just swell, you know?
But Jamie, Kellyanne Conway is here with us, and she's saying, let's hear about the issues and Sarah Palin.
And I am so glad that I heard her say that. I want to hear about them, too, but why aren't people bringing them up from within the party, you know? It's strange, it's predictable, and so is Rush Limbaugh, by the way, who you played a little earlier. I'm wondering what would happen if Michelle Obama had announced that, you know, they had a child who was, 17 and unwed and was pregnant, and the shoe was on the other foot. I mean, the past rhetoric coming from the far right about family values would have been deafening. I'll listen.
Jamie, we've got it. Thanks very much, Kellyanne Conway. Well, there it is. Jamie says he doesn't like the way she's being rolled out. He's an independent, was a Republican, but he wants to hear more on the merits. Is he going to get it? Is he going to get it tonight?
Sure. He'll get it tonight from Governor Palin, but he should also go to any number of websites that talk about their positions on the issues, including the McCain campaign's website, I would assume. I'm not a part of the McCain campaign, but I think there are ways to go. I think he's getting his news from media that want to cover these distracting issues. The other thing I'll say is, and that's not all media, by the way, certainly, but the other thing I'll say is, I think I know which way he's going to vote, but you had a caller earlier, and that caller talked about how she was a Hillary supporter, but she feels like she has a lot in common with Sarah Palin. She said she was moved not so much by her biography, but it sounded to me, in listening to your caller, Tom, by her sort of common touch. And I think that the important thing I'll say as a pollster is voters really ask themselves two questions about candidates in the end. The first question is, do I like you? That's the classic living room test. It's the whole likability that we've heard ad nauseum for 2 years. Like, who's likable? Who's likable? But the second question is a more important question. It's, are you like me? And that's really, people want to know that their candidates, their leaders in elective office, have some commonality with them, some connective tissue, whether it's you also have ailing parents, you have a grandmother in a nursing home, you're trying to start a business, you have children, whatever, you have a husband who's in the labor union or who's not a rich man, whatever it is, they really look for those touch points. And I heard in that woman's voice somebody who did cherish and prize Hillary's leadership and experience, yet found in Governor Palin someone who makes her feel like there's something there beyond the sisterhood.
Ruth Marcus, there's the identification factor again.
Identification is important, but I wanted to actually go to the sexism question that one of the callers raised, because I don't see, I'm getting offended by the notion that any criticism of Governor Palin's lack of experience is sexism, sexist per se. I happen to spend a little bit of time today going back and reading Washington Post clips and Washington Post editorials and columns about Dan Quayle when he was selected in 1988. And Senator Quayle happened to have had much more experience than Governor Palin has, albeit not executive experience.
But in Congress, a dozen years or so.
And he was subjected to as intense criticism as Governor Palin, and I don't think that was whatever it is, golferism or whatever had to do with Dan Quayle.
I'm wondering now, Ruth, why Ruth Marcus from the Washington Post, I'm wondering why John Edwards wasn't asked those same questions. I mean, he was a first-term senator who, you know, he was the VP candidate last time, and he was a first-term senator, and nobody really said, gee, you're not fit to be president. You're a first-term senator from North Carolina. You've spent more time running for the presidency than you've spent in the Senate. I know this sounds familiar because we have another one this time running for president as a Democrat. And I think that all these questions are really fair and legitimate, but I would be careful to the pro-Obama forces that in the end, voters go into the voting box with big things in their heads, not nuances. They go in there and they say leadership or experience or values or change or whatever it is they say, abortion rights. They go in there, and if they're going into the ballot box come November 4th and they're saying to themselves leadership experience and they see before them McCain Obama, that may actually work against Senator Obama.
Well, I want to get one more voice in, if I may. Our time is short. Beverly Gage joins us from New Haven, Connecticut, professor of history at Yale University, focuses on American politics and the presidency. Beverly Gage, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks.
We've just got a minute here, but you've looked at presidents and vice presidential nominations right across American history. In that context, what do you make of what John McCain is up to here with Governor Sarah Palin?
Well, I certainly think it's a departure, right? It's tough to make any generalizations about vice presidents. Certainly we remember the ones that go on to become president. We tend to forget the ones who don't go on to become president, either by accident or through their own merits. And certainly people tend to really forget the vice presidential picks who did not even go on to become vice president. And I think the trend of American history has generally been that the vice president has not been the make or break factor. There are two ways in which vice presidents have played a pretty significant role. One is as if they've been big power brokers that have brought in big regions of the country, big states, have gotten the party machine behind the candidate. And the other is if they've damaged their own candidate. Thomas Eagleton is a good example. George McGovern's VP.
1972 had to pull out after he was named.
Exactly. And Dan Quayle, certainly, even Geraldine Ferraro to some degree, right? You heard similar accusations that she wasn't experienced enough, there were family scandals, et cetera. So the VP can definitely damage the candidate. Who knows? This may be the first election in which it really is a make-or-break issue. I certainly think it's beginning to be framed that way in ways that we haven't quite seen before.
Peggy Noonan, Republican speechwriter, writes today or yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, she says, Sarah Palin is a feminist not in the Yale gender studies sense, but in the how do I reload this thing way. How about, I mean, Geraldine Ferraro's been there with Walter Mondale, so it's not a first in that way, but if elected, it certainly would be. How about the gender facet of this impending nomination, Beverly? You know, Republicans are saying, we're going to make history here.
Right, and they well may, right? It remains to be seen whether or not they do. I think it would certainly turn on the face of things many people's expectations about who the first female vice president or president might be, and Hillary Clinton certainly has been in everyone's imagination most recently. She's a very, very different model, and it's open to question whether or not people who would have supported Hillary and who did passionately support her will, in fact, make such a dramatic shift over to a figure like Sarah Palin.
Let's go to Norfolk, Virginia, and Nicole. Nicole, you're on the line to St. Paul.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Very well. What do you see, Nicole?
I see the Republican candidates grasping at straws. I really do. And I think the more that they promote her and the more I hear about her, it's just excellent for Obama. I'm so excited about her being VP for the Republicans. And honestly, because I think it's going to help elect Obama, because I am turned off as a woman voter. I'm turned off as a woman voter because I've seen what she's done. And she has a small child, and she has a child with Down syndrome, and she has another child that's getting ready to be a mother at 17. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that I don't feel that her issues at home are taken care enough, well enough.
Oh, my God.
But Nicole, it sounds like...
That's a different kind of sexism.
It sounds like you're ready to vote for Barack Obama, but haven't Democrats said for a long time, don't tell women to stay at home and just take care of the kids, let them have careers?
I want to be part of the governmental process just as much as the next woman, and I love Hillary Clinton. But I think having her as a VP president, vice presidential candidate, this... for the Republicans, it's a slap in the face to every woman who wanted Hillary Clinton. They're just grasping at this idea of, well, we have to have a woman for a vice presidential candidate. We just have to because Hillary did so well.
Nicole, thanks for your call. Ruth Marcus, I mean, there's all kinds of women's views on what they want in a president, in a vice president, what they want for policy. You could well look at Sarah Palin and say, well, she doesn't line up with what I want from a woman in charge.
Sure. Kellyanne talked a few minutes ago about the abortion nonsense. Governor Palin opposes...
Abortion nonsense?
Said abortion nonsense.
What do you mean by that?
I didn't say that. I just said what I was saying is that the only issue that we're really told about her position on right now is her position on abortion.
Uh-huh.
I think that's insulting to women.
In all cases. Mm-hmm.
And she opposes it in all cases except to save the life of the mother. I do think that this question of... What I bristled, as did Kellyanne, when the caller was talking about, well, she has this teenage daughter who's pregnant and this young infant with special needs, and why isn't she taking care of her family? I do bristle at that. I think it's something that women think about. It's something that men think about who are fathers and involved. I think that's something that is part of the discussion that's going on, and we can't ignore it. But I do think it's sexist to be saying, okay, and I don't want her to be vice president for that reason.
I've heard women say, what about Todd Palin, her husband, chief
and he's
dude,
the first
dude,
the first dude is,
and...
is actually Mr. Mom. He's taking a leave from his thing. I think that part of the discussion is inevitable and healthy. I don't think that goes to her qualifications, and I don't think it's really sexism so much, because it's coming from women, I think, as much as men. But it just goes to the sort of continuing conversation we're having about balancing work and family. I would prefer to judge Governor Palin's fitness for the vice presidency on her merits rather than on her decisions about how she wants to balance work and family.
Kellyanne Conway, one of these Jesse Jackson moments today with two prominent Republicans, Peggy Noonan, the speechwriter who we mentioned, and Mike Murphy, big Republican strategist. Their mics were open on NBC. They're talking to each other. And Peggy Noonan, who said, you know, kind of this is it's going to go either big up or big down for McCain, here talking off mic, she said, it's over. referring to what Sarah Palin's nomination means for McCain. She said, I think they went for this, excuse me, political BS, abbreviating, about narratives, about the storyline. That is McCain's camp himself. And Mike Murphy, very smart, prominent Republican strategist, saying, you know, what's really the worst thing about it? The greatness of McCain is no cynicism, suggesting that this was a cynical pick. These are pretty high-powered Republicans shaking their heads here.
They are, except I think that Ms. Noonan's comments were separate. She said it's over in response to something else, so that Mike Murphy was talking about with respect to the way that blue state politics has gone in the gubernatorial races he's won. And Mike Murphy, let's put some context here. Very smart guy, good, very successful tactician in the Republican Party, but also somebody who was with the McCain campaign in 2000 and was not welcome back there in 2008. Also, Chuck Todd, the political director of NBC News, was a part of that same conversation.
Right.
I see he's being deleted from all of the postings of it.
So
I think it's important to know what everybody was saying, and Chuck's a great guy and a very responsible, unbiased journalist. And I think it's just important to know what everybody was saying as part of that conversation.
Noonan, is she really the most qualified woman? Peggy Noonan, the most qualified? No. I think they went for this, excuse me, political BS about narratives.
About narrative, yes. And Peggy's declarations column today really talks all about the narrative of Sarah Palin. I'm really going to discuss conversations that people thought were private when their mics were open, no more than I did when Jesse Jackson's mic was open. By the way, I didn't do it then either, and I won't do it now.
Though there was plenty.
Didn't touch Chelsea Clinton, when I won't touch Bristol Palin. I'm a consistent. But I do want to say that I do think sexism comes in all forms, Tom, and I think that women can be sexist against other women as well. You know, we used to do this polling with Celinda Lake, my Democratic colleague, where we found women would prefer to have a male boss, not a female boss, in a lot of circumstances, particularly an economic downturn. And I think that I am a mother who has three children under the age of four. So I understand the time crunch. Believe me, I work full time. I run a company. I understand the time crunch. But you know what? Let us figure that out. I don't play golf. So right there, I have five extra hours every Saturday, five extra hours Sunday, and the whole month of August that a lot of these guys in Washington don't seem to have.
It would be a very, very busy vice president if it's Vice President Palin, no doubt. But there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. Kellyanne Conway, Republican pollster, thanks for being with us this hour. Beverly Gage at Yale University, professor of history there. Thank you for joining us, Professor Gage.
Thanks.
And Ruth Marcus, columnist for The Washington Post. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks a lot.
Listeners, thanks for joining us in St. Paul. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.